Welcome to Hockey Whiz Talks podcast. Today I'll be previewing the Pacific Division and the NHL. In this podcast, I preview the Pacific Division in order in which I think they will finish at season's end. 1. Edmonton Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers are always a threat to win their division simply because they have both Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, arguably the two best players in the game. Edmonton's biggest weakness headed into this offseason was goaltending, and they solved that by signing Jack Campbell to a 5-year deal worth $5 million per season. He will tandem with Stuart Skinner to form a solid goalie tandem. The Oilers brought back a pair of players who were instrumental to their playoff run last season, Evander Kane and Brett Kulak. Although controversial, Evander Kane is a very talented player who put up 22 goals and 39 points in 43 regular season games after signing with Edmonton, as well as 13 goals and 17 points in 15 playoff games. Brett Pesce is not flashy, but he was real solid for the Oilers in their playoff run, having put up 5 points in 16 games and was a plus 7. Both Kyler Yamamoto and Jesse Puljujarvi were RFAs. Yamamoto was re-signed to a 2-year deal and Puljujarvi to a 1-year deal. The defense is okay, but nothing special, unless Evan Bouchard makes a massive jump or Darnell Nurse starts playing like a $9 million defenseman. The defense is going to be the weak spot of the team. Despite having questionable defense and goaltending, the Edmonton Oilers may finish first in the division because they have a dynamic offense led by Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and teams simply haven't found ways to slow down those two. 2. Calgary Flames. The Calgary Flames had the most eventful offseason of any team this offseason, and are arguably much better this year than they were last year despite winning the Pacific Division. Calgary lost two key players on their team from last season, Johnny Gaudreau, who signed with the Columbus Blue Jackets in free agency, and Matthew Tkachuk, who refused to re-sign with Calgary and was traded to Florida for a package of players which included Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, Cole Schwinn, and a first-round pick in 2025. Calgary immediately locked up Jonathan Huberdeau to an 8-year deal worth $10.5 million per season with a full no-move clause through 2029. The Flames also signed the second-best free agent available on the market in Nazem Kadri to a 7-year deal worth $7 million per season with a full no-movement clause through 2029. Watch out for Calgary's third line, which features Mikael Backlund centering two young wingers in Jacob Pelletier and Dylan Dubé. This line could prove to be the difference maker when they play top-heavy teams. Jacob Markstrom is going to be the workhorse in net for Calgary and will be relied upon to be the last line of defense. Calgary looks deadly on paper with one good scoring line and three lines that are hard to play against, as well as three solid D pairs. The Calgary Flames are going to battle the Edmonton Oilers for the top spot in the division, but they ultimately might fall short. And now a word from our sponsor. Check out my scouting blog at HockeyWiz777Scouting.com. Listen to my scouting blog podcast on anchor.fm/HockeyWiz777Scouting. 3. Vancouver Canucks. The Vancouver Canucks are a much improved team from last season with three really good scoring lines, a decent defense, and an outstanding goalie in Thatcher Demko. Jonathan Lekkarimäki was drafted in the first round of the 2022 draft. He will be yet another Swede in the prospect pool that can one day be an impact player. Vancouver locked up two players this offseason to a long-term deals. JT Miller to a 7-year deal worth $8 million per season, and Brock Besser to a 3-year deal worth $6.5 million per season. The big acquisition Vancouver made this offseason was signing Andrei Kuzmenko over from the KHL. He had 20 goals and 53 points in 45 games, as well as 7 goals and 14 points, leading SKA St. Petersburg to the conference finals before falling to CSKA Moscow, the eventual league champions. Besides Kuzmenko, Vancouver signed Ilya Mikheyev away from Toronto. He should be a solid 20-goal scorer that plays on the second line and is an excellent penalty killer. The defense has question marks for sure. If Luke Shen is playing on your top pair, there are going to be issues. OEL and Tyler Myers aren't exactly the most reliable defensemen either. Luckily for Vancouver, they are backstopped by one of the most reliable and most consistent goalies in the league, Thatcher Demko, who faced almost 2,000 shots last season and stopped close to 1,800 of them. With a very talented young team and a star goalie, the Vancouver Canucks may be poised to make the playoffs in the Pacific Division, especially with how bad the other teams are. 4. LA Kings. The LA Kings were one of the surprise teams in the Western Conference last season, and they improved the team this offseason with one major acquisition. Kevin Fiala, who had a career-high 33 goals and 85 points last season with the Minnesota Wild, was acquired for Brock Faber and a first-round pick, then was immediately re-signed to a massive 7-year deal worth $7.87 million per season. Fiala will join a LA Kings forward core, which includes Anze Kopitar, Philip Deneau, Victor Arvidsson, and Adrian Kempe. Their defense is anchored by Drew Doughty, with several upcoming young defensemen like Mikey Anderson and Sean Durzi. LA has many talented young players in the lineup worth paying attention to, but the two names that stand out the most are Quinton Byfield, the second overall pick in 2020, and Arthur Kaliev, their second round pick in 2019. Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson will split goaltending duties, but with Jonathan Quick getting another year older, the team in front of them will have to play much better because Quick isn't going to be able to bail them out much longer. Because the other teams in the Pacific Division are so bad, the LA Kings definitely have a chance to make the playoffs if they can be a top 3 seed in the division, but they will have to beat out Vancouver for that. Check out my hockey blog at hockeywiztalkshockey.blogspot.com. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at hockeywiz777. 5. Vegas Golden Knights. The Vegas Golden Knights might be in for a rough season due to their lack of offensive depth and uncertainty in net. Vegas is led offensively by Jack Eichel, Mark Stone, Jonathan Marchessault, William Karlsson, and Riley Smith. They are anchored on defense by Alex Pietrangelo, Shea Theodore, and Alec Martinez. The biggest subtraction, of course, is Max Pacioretty, who was dealt along with Dylan Coghlan to the Carolina Hurricanes for future considerations. To replace Pacioretty, Vegas signed Phil Kessel to a cheap 1-year deal. Although Kessel is not the same player he once was, if he can put up 50 to 60 points with Eichel, it will be a good signing. In order to create cap space, Vegas traded Evgeny Dadonov to the Montreal Canadiens for Shea Weber. Shea Weber is retired now, but his $7.5 million will be sitting on long-term IR until 2026. The top six looks good, but their bottom six looks very weak. The only noteworthy name is William Karlsson, who will be centering the third line, but he really can't produce offensively when flanked by Brett Howden and Michael Mattio. Robin Lehner will be sidelined for this entire season, which will leave the goaltending duties to Logan Thompson, who has only played in 19 NHL games, and Aiden Hill, who was acquired in a trade from San Jose. The only reason why Vegas won't finish lower than 5th in their division is because of Bruce Cassidy, who in the past always had the Boston Bruins in contention. However, as good a coach as he is, he has his work cut out for him as his goaltending is questionable, and if Jack Eichel doesn't buy into playing defense, Vegas will be a mess. The Vegas Golden Knights will ultimately miss the playoffs because of inconsistent goaltending and lack of scoring, but they won't be bad enough to contend for a top 10 pick either. 6. Anaheim Ducks. The Anaheim Ducks are a very talented young team, but they will experience a lot of growing pains this season because they just aren't good enough as a collective unit to compete for a playoff spot in the division. In the 2022 draft, Anaheim drafted defenseman Pavel Mandzukic and center Nathan Gaucher in the first round, followed by defenseman Noah Warren and Tristan Lanoa in the second round. Anaheim completely restocked their prospect pool with talented defensemen who could be impactful a few years down the road. In free agency, Anaheim signed a pair of ex-Ranger forwards, Ryan Strome to a 5-year deal and Frank Vetrano to a 3-year deal, as well as John Klingberg to a 1-year deal worth $7 million. Dmitry Kulikov was acquired in a trade from Minnesota to help fill out their defense. Two young players to pay attention to on the Ducks are Mason McTavish and Jamie Drysdale. McTavish was the third overall pick in the 2021 draft and made his name known to the world at this year's U20 World Junior Championship. Jamie Drysdale was the Ducks' sixth overall pick in the 2020 draft, and he will be given the chance to play a bigger role this season, especially after Shattenkirk and Klingberg are traded away. Of course, Anaheim is backstopped by John Gibson, one of the league's premier goaltenders, but he isn't going to play like one this season with the team in front of him. It will be another rebuilding year for Anaheim, but the plan will be to get a boatload of assets at the deadline for the pending UFAs and try to build through the draft, as well as develop their young stars like Zegras, McTavish, and Drysdale. The Anaheim Ducks should be one of the worst teams in the league, but at the same time, they should be better than both Seattle and San Jose, simply because they have John Gibson. Listen to Hockey Wiz Talks podcast on Podbean and Spotify. Check out my YouTube channel, Lucas Aoyang. 7. Seattle Kraken. The Seattle Kraken are an improved team this year compared to last season, having added a few players in the offseason and landing a potential franchise center in the draft. Shane Wright was the consensus first overall pick heading into the draft, but with a stroke of luck, Wright fell to 4th and fell right into Seattle's lap. The Kraken also had 4 second round picks in the draft and selected Jagr Fergus, Yanni Nyman, Nicholas Cocho, and David Goyette. In free agency, Seattle signed winger Andrei Burakovsky to a 5-year deal worth $5.5 million per season and defenseman Justin Schultz to a 2-year deal worth $3 million per season. Seattle was able to take advantage of Columbus's cap situation and stole Oliver Bjorkstrand, who was Columbus's leading goal scorer and second leading point scorer last season, for just a 3rd and 4th round pick in the 2023 draft. A rookie who will be under the spotlight this year is Matthew Beniers, the 2nd overall pick in the 2021 draft. He is centering the first line of Seattle and could be set for a breakout year. The Kraken have 3 NHL caliber goalies on the roster. Philip Grubauer will surely be the number one goalie, with Chris Drager and Martin Jones battling to be the backup. Overall, Seattle is a much better team on paper than last year, and it would not be surprising if they do better than a team like the Anaheim Ducks, with the added talent on the roster. With that said, I think they are a better team than San Jose and will battle Anaheim for the 6th seed in the division, but they will ultimately finish 7th. 8. San Jose Sharks. The San Jose Sharks are looking like the worst team in a weak division, and don't have much salary cap left to improve the team either. San Jose is led offensively by a core of Thomas Hurdle, Logan Couture, and Timo Meier, and is anchored on defense by Erik Karlsson. Luke Kunin was acquired in an offseason trade for John Leonard. He will be a solid third line forward for them, providing some sandpaper and some finish on the third line. In free agency, San Jose signed Oscar Lindblom, Nico Sturm, and Steven Lorenz to bolster their depth on offense, as well as Marcus Nudovara and Matt Benning to improve their defense. After trading away Aiden Hill, the Sharks will be rolling out a tandem of James Reimer and Kaapo Kakkonen, which is decent, but isn't gonna move the standings. This might not be the worst thing in the world for them though, cause they are in dire need of a franchise talent, which is exactly what they are gonna be able to acquire in the 2023 draft. The San Jose Sharks are looking like the worst team in the division, but they will need to beat out Seattle for that honor. In my next podcast, I'll be talking about free agents still remaining and rookies to look out for.